So good morning to you all, dear God's people. To those of you here in church, a very warm welcome. To those of you online at home, it is always good to see you all. And keep on turning on those cameras that we can see you, we see your faces, we remember of who you are, that you are one with us. Thank you, Shireen, for the worship service. That was very good, very a blessing. The message this morning, we're back to our sermon series, Strong Foundation. We had a little break in between. Thank you, our dear brother Ansgar, for filling in the gap. But we are back onto the sermon series, Strong Foundations. A sermon series very much needed in our church at this present time. Very timely. On this occasion, I'm tasked to bring a message from Matthew 7 titled, Judge Not, Lest Ye Be Judged. So this morning, I pray to persuade you in refusing to invade the office of God where others are concerned. And you would wonder why I'm doing such a thing. So this morning, through the Holy Scriptures, we shall focus on biblical conflict resolution. So it's something quite personal to us. This is something we deal with. You know, parents with children, I can speak from experience. You know, we tend to get snappy when our children wind our gears, grind our gears. We know that. Husbands and wives, or wives and husbands. So in other words, where two people are of different mindsets is bound to be conflict. The very same thing happens to us here, believers, not only the unbelievers and the lost out there, but also with us here, brothers and sisters. So how do we deal with this biblical conflict resolution? So first and foremost, understanding the pride on our part, that is very important. And secondly, self-examination. We are very good at examining others, at the same time, terrible, in fact, pitiful at examining ourselves. So let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, I commit this morning's sermon and administration of your word into your hands. I pray that you speak through me. I pray that your Holy Spirit softens the hearts and opens the ears of the listeners and the hearers of your word, that your word may bring change in us, that we may live according to your precepts, in line with the salvation of Christ, in loving one another, and in sharing, extending your love as we are commanded to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Amen. So the reading of God's word is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, according to Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 12. My task was chapter 7, verses 1 to 6, but I did extend it 1 to 12 for the obvious reasons that will come apparent. So let us turn our Bibles to Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and to one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Amen. So I am aware that 2 weeks ago, as part of this very sermon series, Strong Foundations, going through the Sermon on the Mount verse by verse, our brother Olivier, in his exposition on prayer, covered Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11. Nevertheless, it would be a gross disservice to you on my part if I didn't preach the full counsel of God, in that showing a clear link in Christ our Savior's word from Matthew 7, verse 1, and Matthew 7, verse 12, which is commonly known as the Golden Rule. Judge not, lest ye be judged. So each and every one of you ask yourselves, is it a problem if you judge the right way? So today we hear, and I tell you, it is a problem. It is wrong if you judge unrighteously. So the answer to the first question, that is something you will answer on your own account. So tying into the very sermon, judge lest ye be judged. In other words, opening the door to you that judge, we are called to judge. We're not called to take this literally, that we should not judge, as many have said. So yes, it is a problem. It is wrong if you judge unrighteously, just as we hear in Romans chapter 2, verses 21. While you preach against stealing, do you then steal? So in other words, if you go out and steal your brother's item, keys, shoes, anything of material or physical benefit, you can't be the same person then picking on someone else for theft. So for the note takers that are among you, I noticed Christine, you're online, and those of you here, if you're interested, today's reference, or rather expository scripture passages, are taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 to 11, Matthew 5, verses 20, something that we already covered, John chapter 7, verses 21 to 24, Romans chapter 2, and 2 Samuel chapter 12. Judge not, lest ye be judged. There are two questions that I will set before you this morning. What is your motive? What are your motives? How much self-righteousness are you bringing to the table? The second question being, how big a deal is this issue you are dealing with? So, in other words, do not make a big deal out of everything. Out of every little thing, we shouldn't try to make a mountain out of a molehill. So like I mentioned before, parents, we can testify to this issue. So this is where the golden rule comes in, where we tie in Matthew 7:12 into Matthew 7:1. It begins with a proper estimation of yourself. So it starts with us, and a correct and right assessment of yourself. In our verse-by-verse exposition so far, we have heard, you are the salt of the earth. The expounding of the Beatitudes, the light of the world, that light being godly living. So remembering that we were sinners, saved, and yet hunger for righteousness, as we read through Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. So these are things we already covered. Our brothers Frank and Olivia have labored through covering these topics. So from verse 17, that is Matthew 5, 17, all through to Matthew 7, verses 12, where we are today, Jesus teaches what the law has always meant. You have heard it said to those of old, tooth for tooth, as I remember mentioning last time I was here, with the lex talionis, or the law of vengeance, or thou shalt not murder. And then Jesus goes on to say, but I say unto you. So Jesus is not changing the law, but Jesus is correcting the misrepresentation of the law or the misteachings of the rabbinical texts over and over again. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Matthew 7:12. So we see here that God's law and the prophets hinges on this: loving God and loving our neighbors as ourselves. Judge not, lest ye be judged. So in preparation of this morning's message, before actually I have something little to share with you. There are two things in particular. Yesterday, we were spending quality family time, but of course that comes with its never short of its hiccups. So we decided to enjoy the afternoon by going out, being active. This was a response to something that had happened to me earlier during the week. So in the week, my wife Vera was on a video call with her mother, my mother-in-law. I'm not the very best of Czech language speakers. I pick a thing or two here and there. But as they were talking, I did greet her, and then I left them to get on with their conversation. But through their exchange, I had my name being mentioned, and then my wife burst out laughing. So I didn't know what it was all about. But I thought within my head, could it be, it's the obvious. She's talking about me, definitely, without a doubt. So I inquired to what the issue would be. And my mother-in-law had asked my wife, wow, I'm looking at your husband, but God has put on a lot of weight, hasn't he? So if your mother-in-law really comments about your weight gain, it's something. So I did ascribe this to two issues. So talking about not judging, but I would like to then refer you to, we are not called not to judge. We ought to judge. We ought to be full of discernment. So earlier this year, I had canceled my gym membership, rightly so, because I saw the way things were going with the corona. Gyms were the first to be attacked. So in canceling of my gym membership and my stopping to do any kind of sport, my weight skyrocketed. So that was my personal choice. I deemed fit that I would be losing out money, so I canceled my gym membership. But on the contrary, it cost me on the healthy issue. So this is where it comes in with our family time yesterday. When I am playing with my children, I tend to be very animated, very involved. I get really active. And yesterday was one of those things. We were out walking. We live in a nice place where there are woods around us, less traffic, so we could really enjoy the nature. And as I was showing or demonstrating to my children how one runs or sprints, I got very active and very involved. And I was trying to encourage them to pump their hands really hard, and their legs both work together to give you a good sprint. I then physically did this thing. I'm not in the right kind of shape to do this, and I did pull a muscle 50 meters down the road. Looking back, my wife was in stitches. She was laughing. She couldn't help herself. My daughter, Lucia, was with her mother at the time, also laughing her head off. And at the front, there was my two youngest, Daniel and Susanna. They were wondering, what's happening? What's wrong with Daddy? You know, he's in really horrific pain. What's going on? And as my wife came to me, you know, I expected some sort of pampering, some sort of niceties. No. It was a reminder. Have you forgotten? You're no longer that young soldier. So you have piled a lot of weight, and you're pretty old. You're no longer young enough to do the things you once did. So why am I sharing this to you? That shows that in our judgment, in many things that we do, we judge things wrongly. And because it's us doing them, we tend to overlook these things. So for me, that was a painful reminder, because I'm still bearing the pains of this muscle pull this morning. And so, going back to the message today, judge not lest you be judged. So as I'm preparing this message, I found myself at odds with most in Christendom. Not against, but at just odds. Most preachers and most Bible commentators, or nearly all of them, have made remarks to this effect of these verses being quoted at whim by people who have never opened the Bible. I was sharing this verse with my wife, and I said, I'm sure in your language, it must be a common saying, because in English, people use it often on the street. So to that extent, they were right in saying that. I'm sure in the German language, they will probably do that as well. I don't know if it's true, Frank or Ansgar, using words that do not judge. Don't judge me because the Bible says so, even if someone has no idea what the Bible really says. I don't know if it's something used in common in German expression, but in English it is. So these are the most commonly distorted words, says these people. The most commonly abused words of the Bible, and mostly by unbelievers and the lost. They're described by many as the devil's favorite verse. I do not personally, believe this. It has its degree of truth, but not entirely true. So it's the whole idea why they describe them as the devil's favorite verses is because of their negation or their no standard of morality. So many fearing to call out sin for what it is, even in the church, even among us, fearing to rebuke one another. Lest one says, Jesus said, judge not. The scripture says, do not judge. But this is why I'm at odds with such all-embracing libertarian popular remarks. And I go on to say that not just the verse in Matthew 7, 1 to 12, or just the Matthew 7, 1, but rather the entire Bible, the scripture here are the most commonly distorted words. And an example is the removal of this definite article. Many people will take out the Jesus is the way, is the only way to God. Exclusivity. This article creates this exclusivity. And rather people add our way. So it's just another way. So that means there are several ways. I think far from it. God forbid, because the scripture says he is the way, the truth, and life. There's no other way apart from through Christ. So, as the Bible tells us, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. That is Matthew 7, verses 15 to 16. So this is down in the very same chapter of this scripture we find this. So Jesus, who started off by saying, judge not, lest ye be judged, is then saying, beware. So then the question comes, so how should we heed this injunction unless we carefully measure every preacher we hear by the word of God? So Jesus is being taken out of context by those who jump onto these words and say, judge not, lest you be judged. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6, it compels us to distinguish those walking disorderly. How are we going to distinguish those walking disorderly? They have no badge on their head or their shirts or their blouses that they're walking disorderly. We ought to discern that. So in rightly dividing the word of truth, we clearly see that Christ tells us to be discerning in loving our neighbors. The Puritan A.W. Pink wrote, "The capacity of judging, of forming an estimated opinion, is one of our most valuable faculties, and our use of it, one of the most important duties. If we do not form judgments to what is true and false, how can we embrace the one and avoid the other?" This is a quote from John Brown, Puritan. Back to the scripture. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Hebrews 5:14. So, in other words, by their fruits you shall know them. Jesus himself said in the very same chapter, Matthew 7, verse 20. And then to understand how it comes to us with our biblical conflict resolution, we cast a shadow in the book of 2 Samuel. So we see two examples of misguided or unrighteous judgment calls. Definitely pride being a motivator, a motive within this, and self-righteousness are the root of both. So in chapter 10 of the second book of Samuel, we find it's between David and the Ammonite king. And chapter 12, David and Nathan, the prophet of God. So chapter 10, here's David genuinely out of sorrowfulness of his heart, sends his men to go console the king of the Ammonites, whose father, the king, had died. But as these Hebrew men came to console his people, the advisors to the young king wrongly judged the intentions of these men. So what did they say to the king? Oh, they have come to spy out the land. They are not coming to console and grieve with us. No, they have come to spy out the land. So because of this wrong judgment call, the result of it is a devastating war at the end of it. That could have been avoided. Chapter 12, we find David. Nathan is sent to the king David with a parable. A rich man has all that at his disposal that he can desire. Nevertheless, he takes a lamb from the poor man's, this only lamb that belonged to the poor man. And what does David say? David answered, "This man shall pay fourfold. Such an evil, terrible person. He deserves to die." And Nathan turns around and says, "You are that man." So this is how pathetic we are when we are judging ourselves as to those of our brothers and sisters. We tend to be nitpicky, thinking we are holier than thou. So do not make a big deal out of every little thing. Do not make a mountain out of a molehill. In Proverbs 19:11, we read, "Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense." How often do we overlook offenses? If you believe you are holier than thou, then you are making a great error in judgment. Just like David, we've heard, did in the response to Nathan's parable, you show a lack of discernment. So, in conclusion, judge not. That here which is forbidden is the unlawful judgment of our fellow brothers and sisters, of our fellow laborers, and God's own elect. If everyone here today, and those online at home, choose to be nitpicky of every little thing that displeases them, of a brother or a sister, then we wouldn't be here. So overlook other people's faults, as God has overlooked your very own faults. God is merciful and long-suffering. In the very first song that our sister Shireen played for us, we heard that our sin was great, but God's love was greater. Actually, when you put in biblical context, God's love covers a multitude of sins. So that means there isn't any kind of sin that will overshadow God's love. So as God has forgiven us, as God has overlooked our very own sin, we ought to do the same towards our brothers and sisters. God is merciful. God is long-suffering. God is a righteous judge. He is a loving God. God has not dealt with us according to our sins, but rather with love, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? The Bible says, "It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand." Romans 14, verses 4. So we have
There are four examples out there of lawful judgment. Two of them being public and two being private. This morning we heard from our brother Olivier, and in his testimony we find an example of one of these private judgments. So we have ecclesiastical judgments, of which there are two, and magisterial judgments, civil judgments, of which we find two as well. So we see that among these four kinds of judgment, judging which are lawful and required by the law, two public being, two being private, the ecclesiastical judgment belongs chiefly to the minister who, by preaching God's word, admonishes men and women of their sin. Now that is a public, because it's happening in a church setting, in a public open preaching. And the private side to the ecclesiastical judgment, we find the private dealings. The pastor, the brother, the sister, the deacon, the elder, the servant in the church, they must rebuke their brother or their sister to their souls. Where necessary, the judgment of the church is also exercised when it decides to one applying for membership. So we exercise judgment. Our brothers and sisters come before us and give us their testimonies, upon which we exercise judgment. So that's a private way of judgment. It is a biblical way of judgment. I've had someone tell me when they first saw us elect a member, they thought that being unbiblical. But I said, yeah, the disciples cast lots on who was to replace Judas Iscariot. So you don't just come off the street and you become a member among a group. You need to adhere to the precepts that people believe on, and then those will deem it or see it fit to make you a member within the brethren. And yeah, in like manner, Stephen as well, and the other seven who were picked, they were also picked according to the judgment of the believers. They found them to be men full of the Holy Spirit. So there is an exercise of judgment. So in the same way, there is also judgment in excluding and the discipline of those who do not heed the reproofs of the church. And then the last two, civil government, has to do with the judging and upholding the law of the land. So we have the magistrates to the criminal offenders giving judgment. We have the judges according to the law of the land. But also you have the private to the individual, either the acquitting of the innocent or the sentencing of those proved guilty. So these are legitimate judgments. And in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 17, you read of those as detailed. But as we thank God for the power of testimony, before I close the sermon, I would just like a reminder from James chapter 5, verses 19 to 20. And this encapsulates and is above all. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your power through the word, for it is the power of God unto our salvation. We pray, O God, that you fill us with your Holy Spirit and power in rightly dividing your word of truth. We also pray that you bring us remembrance, the things that we've learnt of you, O God, mainly in being able to preach in and out of season, not being intimidated by those who wrongly misquote scriptures, just as the Pharisees had done to Christ or the scribes. And our Lord and Savior, in dealing with them, responded by the very same words, rightly dividing your word of truth. We pray, O God, that you strengthen us too. Even as we think of the angel Michael in the book of Jude, as he wrestled with the devil again for the body of Moses, he simply rebuked him by your word. We pray, O God, that you open our ears, you soften our hearts, turn our hearts into the hearts of flesh, that we have those contrite hearts and are not stone-hearted people full of pride and conceit. For you, O God, a contrite and broken heart is what you seek. We pray for healing, O God. We pray for togetherness. And even as we leave this place, you keep us together in fellowship one another, in truth and in openness. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.